Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, Vassar.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, man. Blessed. Highly favored. Grateful. Thankful. How's your week going?
It's going good. You know, just everyday battle, everyday learning, everyday receiving information, paying attention, really seeing God do what he does. Because I'm growing more sensitive to his word and understanding, you know, who he is as a God. You know, I've been asked, you know, by a certain individual who has been reading the Bible for many years, more than I have. And they were like, they didn't really understand, you know, Exodus and like the Leviticus and like, you know, the Numbers. And he didn't really understand it. And I was like, what I got out of that is just understanding like who God is. Like God is a no nonsense God. You're going to do it this way, the way that he has it, because God can't allow sin around him. And there are certain steps that we have to take in order to be in his presence, you know? And there's no ups and downs. There's no, oh, let me try it this way. No, it's this way or there's no way. You know, and I'm sitting here and I kind of like see, like, you know, I've been coming across individuals who have the veil over their eyes. I've been coming across individuals who completely, utterly misinterpret the Bible and, you know, kind of like put it in like a, you know, how you were explaining about the homiletics and, you know, the exegesis and things like that is really understanding like the art of, you know, interpreting the word. And there's just so many people who just like they take the word and then they kind of like use the word of God, the creator of the universe, the stars, the galaxies, time, reality, everything. And they change the gospel and they like, they manipulate it into, you know, and people has been doing this, you know, for thousands, you know, or the years, you know, that humanity has been on this planet. And it's just like crazy, you know, when you're dealing with this and seeing it in, you know, real time, you know, people who, you know, speak so much confidence and at the same time simultaneously have no idea what they're talking about. And it's just like, you know, you got individuals who read it and completely, you know, turn it upside down. Then you got people that actually read it and receive it. And I feel like the key word that I would tell people, you know, is it's symbolism. We got to understand the symbolism in the Bible. People take it like too literally and they don't understand how, you know, the Bible is to be, you know, interpreted. Because again, if you don't understand symbolism, you're going to take things differently. And it's like that right there that, you know, I've been like learning and really understanding, like, you know, the dragon in Revelations, he took with his tail 1/3 of the stars in the sky. So what does that mean? That means he took 1/3 of the angels. That was symbolism. Right. Now somebody would think, oh, it's an actual dragon. Yeah, exactly.
The word you want is allegory.
Allegory.
That word is, yeah, allegorical scripture, right?
Yeah.
Emphatic scripture. And then people take it and turn it theoretical scripture. They theorize it with no point of reference because they didn't read enough of the book to realize, oh, this refers to that.
Yeah.
It's saying the same thing in a different manner. But he was making the point, and this is this person's way of explaining what this scripture already explained. And now you see the connection between when it becomes like a roadmap in the Bible, right? And you begin to see the connections.
And that's a beautiful part about it. The way the Lord designed our brains, especially, you know, because we're made to worship him, our lives are not our own. We are made for him. He made us. And the way our brains work, especially if someone who's really trying to really study the Bible, like it's crazy. Like you'll read and then it'll like, I don't know, I would say like a connection in your brain will connect to a certain part of the Bible. Then you'd be like, oh, that goes here. It's like a puzzle that sets itself up on its own. The more you read and get into the Bible.
Yep. It is the point of revelation. That is the reason that there has to be revelation, not just information in the Bible. You're spot on is what I'm saying. Because then you begin to mature a little better and you begin to understand what people are you know, you're not trying to, you're not judging them, but you can now see, oh, okay, this person hasn't seen the connections yet. So I can understand why they think the way they think, why they move the way they move, why they talk and act in certain manners, because the connectivity of the Bible, which is Revelation, has not taken place. They've just read some words and they're trying to make sense out of the words from a carnal place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Does that sort of kind of, hey, God bless you. Is that Brother Dewan?
Hey, Pastor.
God bless you,
man of God. How are you?
Yes. Good.
Good. Great. Awesome. Good. How's your day going?
Great. Yes.
Okay. What makes it great?
To be here among the living and participate in what I need to do. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You're taking advantage of the opportunity of life, huh? Go ahead now.
Yes.
All right now. All right. So go ahead. Like he was explaining something. He was sharing with what he's, you know, what he's gathering and garnering, because he studies hard. You know, he's seeking revelation and insight from God, and so he's sharing some things. Go ahead, Lati, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and, you know, just again, like you said, that revelation and, like, how things are, like, you know, it comes together, like, your brain, like, involuntarily does it. Like, it's kind of like you got to trust your mind, you know, when you're reading it, but also, too, and I feel like it's the Holy Spirit who's making those connections in our brains. You know, to go back to that, because there are times where you'll say stuff and then, you know, I can just, like, think about it. I haven't memorized the exact, you know, areas, but the stories in my brain is just like, oh, I can relate it to this. Like, I remember this part of the Bible that goes here, you know, because all Old Testament, you know, AKA the Pentateuch, is, you know, really, you know, kind of paving the way for our Lord and Savior, you know? And it's like a lot of people think that, oh, we should read the Old Testament. That don't matter. I don't believe that. I believe the Old Testament is very, very relevant, you know, now, because it helps you understand who God is, his personality, how he gets down, and what he requires. And that right there will show you, and it'll create, like, that, again, the reverence for him and being like, okay, I'm dealing with a God where I need to be obedient. I need to do these things. I cannot come to him all messy. I got to come to him clean and ready to go.
You know, so. Yeah, well said. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about that Old Testament part. A lot of people say you shouldn't read the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think they get that from?
I mean, there's many things, you know, with the Old Testament, you know, I mean, you go back into the, you know, 1800s, they're definitely going to tell you not to read it, you know, and now it's just like, I feel like a lot of people don't think, or, you know, the carnal minds or the secular minds, they kind of don't think that, oh, like, it's the New Testament now and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, they hear the word of, you know, our Lord and Savior, but they don't really know, like, the origins and, you know, the creation, and, you know, understanding who God is and, you know, how he handles things, you know, because the Lord doesn't leave anything out. Everything is specifically in its place where it needs to be. And there's specific things that we need to do as followers to obey him and to please him. And I feel like that's one of the big things that I would tell anybody, you know, a lot of preachers have told me, oh, start in John. But the way to my brain is, I'm just like, all right, am I starting John? But, like, what about the rest of the Bible? Like, shouldn't I just, like, read all of it? I wouldn't tell anybody to start in John. I would tell someone, first off, get with, you know, a good teacher, get with someone that understands that. Then at the same time, too, like, you know, receive Christ, understand that part, and then, you know, read the Bible, you know, invite the Holy Spirit and start from the beginning. And, again, understand who our God is.
Yes.
Good evening.
Well, one's cup.
Good evening.
Hello.
This is Angela?
Yes, it's me.
Yep. We were speaking. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. All right. I am gathering as I go, boy. I can tell when the devil has been busy. Right? I can tell when he's ripping folks out of their joy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I rise right. to the spirit of Christ within me.
Within me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? So Latif was talking about, before we get into prayer, we're going to be reading, of course, from 2 Corinthians. And believe it or not, Latif, everything you're talking about is in 2 Corinthians. It's like, you know, it's like God utilizes you to sort of kind of bring some circumstances that yeah. he then answers and speaks about when we read. It's really amazing. And
it
so
is.
One of the things that Latif said, Sister Angela and Sister Dewan, was that he said there's a lot of people who tell you you shouldn't read the Old Testament. And I said to him, what does he think that comes from? Because we were talking about people interpreting the Bible, but interpreting it from a carnal place because they don't read enough of the Bible to be able to get the connecting scriptures to sort of kind of explain why someone is saying 2,000 years later what somebody was speaking about 2,000 years ago, right? Because they got a revelation. Oh, now I
Can
know
I
what
something?
He meant. When... Mm-hmm, sure.
So I had an ex-friend that used to always make fun of me and try to talk behind my back and saying that I was a Old Testament person and I was very harsh in my walk and all this other stuff. And that person came from a church that I will not say the name of the church. And up underneath a bishop that I will not say the name of the bishop, where I had seen another individual after they had gotten their title, they pay that $1,000-something and then they get their bishop hats and crowns and all that other stuff. I saw another gentleman on Facebook, was it yesterday or the day before? And that person I had grew up around and I had seen where he had gotten a title from the same bishop, same church, and he was on Facebook in his truck, and he was rapping, gangbanging, and pointing a gun at the camera.
Mm.
So you have a lot of judgmental people who are in the body of Christ that think that once they get a title or they took that extensive course that comes from that church or from that bishop, wherever it comes from, I don't know. But that they know the Bible more than you. And that same individual even said, well, how do I know that it's God is a God of love. That's what they kept saying. God is a God of love. God, you judge not, judge not. And then they went on to say, how do we know that God is even truly against being a lesbian or a gay person? And so they said that they went into the some study about it, and then a lot of people are saying that God loves all, and love is love, whether it's from two women or two men, it's love. And if it's love, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to show the love of Christ to people. Then we also have people who allow sin around them, and they don't say anything because they're supposed to be showing the love of God. The love of God, the love of God. So with that being said, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's being stirred and people are misconstruing the word of God and also adding to it, taking from it and all that other stuff. And people will be like, why do you read the Old Testament? The Old Testament is done with. When Jesus hung his head and died for the world's sins, it is done with. That Old Testament is nothing you need to be studying off into.
So in other words, you've heard it before too. And
all
and
the
you've
time.
Had some people too. So my question, thank you. My question to Lati was, where is it coming from? Right? Because I want to connect why I'm saying it. Let me connect it. Lati was saying that there's so many people misinterpreting the scriptures. There's so many people who will take something that is allegorical, which may, like a parable, it makes a point, and they make it a rule rather than a point. You know, you get a, you know, like this, the sower of the seed, right? And somebody someplace will look and say, well, every time you get a word, Satan steals it out. No, he tries to. It just depends on where your heart is, but some people take that seriously and will go, well, you don't want to speak too much of the word because Satan will steal it, so ain't no sense in teaching it.
I was studying today where what I've been learning is where your altar is, because everybody has an altar. What's in your heart? Your heart is your altar. Mm-hmm. And so you can have a lot of things that are keeping you from God, because you can have secret idols and all that other stuff that you don't even know. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff that goes on with people, and people do not take the time. I remember, thank you, Holy Spirit. I remember a while ago where you was doing a Bible study, and you said something that stuck out like a sore thumb, like it was everything and then some. God wants mm-hmm. us to ask correct questions.
Yep.
He wants us to think. So when you get in that, that thinking, that level of thinking, you get scared, because mm-hmm. now Holy Spirit has shined a whole bunch of light on a lot of stuff. And mm-hmm. that's exactly where I am at in my walk. Where I was even thinking about the body of Christ. Right. Mm-hmm. I was even thinking about the whole body of Christ. Do we even got the body of Christ together yet? Because we have so many people that are torn and all the other stuff. Aren't we supposed to, like the word of God say, as one?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me go there. I'll even go as far as to say, is that why God hasn't came back for his bride yet? Because it's still not together?
Well, let me say this. That's a great question. First, we're going to have prayer, because we have 5:46 now. So we might as well go into prayer. But we're going to read and try to figure out the answer to that question, why people say that. Are they misinterpreting it? Do they have a point? Right? We should know those things, because when someone says something to us, we become just as bad as they are when we spew back theory with no scripture.
Amen.
When we spew back theory and don't have a point that we can take them to in the Bible and say, this is why I say what I say. This is what the Bible says. Now, do you still agree with what your position is? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because sure. that is the key to this. In order to help people, we have to give them what the word says and not just what we think. Or we may even know what it says, but if we don't know where it is and we cannot confirm that it's in the Bible, then they're taking what you say just like you took what they said. That's just your opinion.
Right.
Wow, isn't that something? Just your opinion. That's what you think? Okay, fine. This is what I think. You go your way, I'll go my way. You'll keep thinking what you think, I'll keep thinking. Because no one said, show that to me. Show it to me where it says that we shouldn't read the Old Testament. And tell me what that means when you show it to me. So we're going to do that, but I'm going to open up in prayer. Father, we do thank you. We glorify you. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Doesn't mean that everything that happened in our day was about gladness. Doesn't mean that everything happened in our week was about joy. Doesn't mean that everything that happened in our week brought us peace. But you said you give us a peace that the world could not take. So that means my peace lives in me. It means my joy remains full in you. It means that I have hope as long as I have Jesus. And so therefore, no matter what the world does, it does not impact that this is the day that the Lord has made. I, not them, shall rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. And I thank you for it. I thank you that there'll never be another January 21st, 2026 for us. This day is that day. So we glorify you for it. We lift you up and magnify you for it, because you allowed us to be here to see it. And then you asked us to do something with it. If we did something, we got a reason to praise you. If we didn't do anything, well, we're just running around waiting for a reason. So, Father, give us something tonight that gives us a reason to praise, so that Satan does not steal the glory of this day from out of our life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So
amen.
I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, because we've read this recently. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and around the 15th verse. 2 Corinthians, third chapter, 15th verse. And I want you to know this is what they're talking about, but this is also what they're misinterpreting. Amen. Am I ready?
You said third chapter?
Second Corinthians. Uh-huh, third chapter. So this is exactly what they're speaking about.
Hello?
God bless you. Hi, Tara.
Hey, how you going?
Blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
Just fine.
Good. Good to hear your voice. Tara, we're going to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. We've already opened up in prayer.
Okay.
And we're going to look at something because Latif brought up a very, very important point. And it's a good point. How a lot of people will say to other people, hey, Brother Irby, how are you? Brother Irby, you there?
He'll be out in a minute.
All right, God bless you, sir.
Yep, I'm just getting out of the shower, but I'm on.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to 3rd chapter.
Okay.
And we're going to about the... Let's start with the 11th verse.
Okay.
Okay, 3:11.
Okay, yeah.
I'll read it. I don't know what version of the Bible you have, but it should say something similar. But I'll read it from the King James Version. Here it goes. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more than that which remains is now glorious. They're talking about the difference between the old and the new, which Jesus Christ came to implement through the sacrifice on the cross. The old and the new. Let me read it again. With that which is now done away with, that means it's over, was glorious, much more that which remains is now more glorious. Seeing that when we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, right? And not like Moses, watch what he says, not like Moses, which put a veil over his face. Does anybody know what that scripture is talking about?
He's
in the book of Exodus?
When he was in front of God, when he was communing with the God, and basically like the power and glory that came off the Lord. So when he came down from Mount Sinai, the people were frightened because he was glowing. So he had to cover his face not to frighten the other Israelites in the camp.
All right. I want you to say that again. Take your time. So what happened?
So when he was up,
where is that at? In the book of Exodus? What happened?
On Mount Sinai. He was in the Lord's presence when he came down and being cloaked in the fire, and he was communing with the Lord. And because the glory and the power that was coming off of our Lord, our God, when he came down from Mount Sinai, he was basically glowing because he was in his presence, and it would frighten the other Israelites down in the camp. So he had to cover his face with a veil so that the people wouldn't be scared when he would say the commandments of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So does everybody get that now? Everybody read it up? All right.
Mm-hmm.
So why did that happen? What was happening? And this is very important to you as a believer, right? Very important. So Moses was up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. It was during that period of time that he was up in the mountain with God, that God was writing out the Ten Commandments. The Bible says it was written by the finger of God. Right. And so God was giving him Moses was communing with God himself. He's in the holiest of holies. He's in the presence of everything that is good, just and wonderful and marvelous. He's in the presence of the deliverer. He's in the presence of preeminence. He's in the presence of power. He's in the presence of everything that we read about. He is in the presence of it.
Amen.
For 40 days. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got a pencil, write this down. Okay, write it down. 40. There are numerological things that God has given to man in order to help man navigate Satan, believe it or not. Anytime you see 40 in the Bible, it is always used for the deliverance from evil to holiness. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. The Israelites were stuck in the desert for 40 years.
40 years.
Because they were so disobedient, God had to wait to a new generation that was more obedient, was born before they could be delivered into the promised land. So 40 years. When God decided to wipe out evil on the earth, not people, but evil, it becomes so prevalent, it was 25 times worse than what we see right now, and right now is evil. Mm. And it was so bad that God, according to our Bible, it rained how many days? 40 days, 40 nights. Are we getting that? So there are numerological things that God has put in the Bible that you should pay attention to. Anytime the number 3 shows up while you're doing something with God, you should pay attention to it because it is the number of spiritual perfection. Anytime the number 7 shows up, you should pay attention to it because it is the number of life's perfection. 6 days he created, on the 7th he rested. The number 5 exemplifies grace. That's why he sent a 5-fold ministry, because that was his grace towards mankind. And that's in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. He said Jesus Christ went to heaven, went into hell. As there, when he got back to heaven, he said this: I'm going to make some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some preachers, and some prophets. Why? 5 particular offices that were going to, he said, for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, Jesus' grace on mankind was leadership. Oh, glory.
So you said to the number, I'm sorry.
Number 40. 40 is the wiping out of evil in order to bring about holiness. Got that?
Okay, so but you were saying pay attention. You said pay attention to the number 3, 7, and 5.
Mm-hmm, 3, 7, 5. All numbers have a meaning in the kingdom. Uh huh.
When Joseph was talking to Pharaoh. Or I believe it's talking to Pharaoh. He says, when it's shown twice in your dream, that's a decree from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So number 2, partnership. He sent them out in twos. 2 is power.
Mm.
2 is progress. Mm-hmm. That's why marriage is so important. Oh, God. That's why marriage is so important, because when your marriage is right up under God, there is progress, there's partnership. This power,
mm-hmm.
If any 2 touch and agree, I'll do what they ask. That's power. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise God, yeah.
And that is the reason Satan hates marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And does everything he can to disrupt it, mm-hmm. and bring 2 people to a place where they're in disagreement rather than agreement. Because with God, power flows in agreement. Power never flows in disagreement.
Amen.
God is never going to tell you as the wife to do something and tell the husband something completely different, because that would be God dividing a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people will walk around saying, oh, the Holy Ghost told me, and the partner saying, well, you know, that's I don't see that. Something's wrong. Because God mm-hmm. is a God of partnership. So let's go back to Moses, though. Let's go back to this particular scripture. Everybody got that? So those are the numbers.
Yes.
Pay attention to them, 14.
40.
May God bless you. 2.
40.
Right. 40. Evil and good. Right.
Yes.
7. Life perfection. 3. Spiritual perfection. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Got it? Doing good?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So now watch this. So let me get back to the scripture so I can tell you what this is saying. So he says, going back to verse 11, for that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious, because we're in a New Testament, new covenant with God. Seeing then that which we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, verse 13, and not like Moses did, which had to put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. They couldn't see the glory of what was coming because of the glory of what he was. So when they saw that, all of them, Moses put a veil over his face because he had to hide the New Testament was coming. You listen to me good. Because the minute that you stepped into Christ, you became glory. Because once the relationship is solidified, you have a Shekinah glory. You ever heard people say in the church, oh, that's that Shekinah glory of God. They're talking about the shine of God that lives in you.
Shine of God.
See, believe it or not, if you let God use you the way he wants to use you, if you submit yourself, capitulate, and go, you know what? And we're going to read about Paul in a minute, because in the 12th chapter, you're going to see how Paul deals with his issues. And if you deal with your issues the way Paul dealt with his issues, believe it or not, there's going to be a Shekinah glory living on you that's going to be so prevalent that people will walk up to you and they'll just go, oh, you must go to church. They'll see it. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Because some of you have experienced that where people have set up and said stuff to you, and after five or six words, you go, what church you go to? They're seeing Shekinah glory. If they can't see the church in you, the relationship needs to get better. Praise the Lord. So Moses is in this relationship. He's there in the presence. Because the minute you accepted Jesus Christ, you shifted from the world to the presence. You shifted from being in the world, being in his presence. From being in the world to being in his presence. If you don't feel him, it ain't got nothing to do with where God is. It's got something to do with where you're not at the moment. You have to shift over and get in the presence, because he's everywhere all at the same time. So whenever you don't feel him, it ain't that God is not doing. It ain't that God is not present. It's that somehow Satan shifted your presence from out of the Shekinah glory. And you start feeling all normal and all human-like and all frustrated and all flustered and all filled with anxiety and all filled with a whole bunch of stuff. And you can't even take the blessing of a day and say, God, thank you for this, God. Because even if I don't have any money in my pocket, I'd live through a day that I can plan for money tomorrow. Why would I not be able to thank him for today? Even if I didn't get blessed today, somebody got blessed today. I got a reason to thank him. Even if I didn't get what I wanted, somebody somewhere got what they wanted. And because God is no respecter of person, he's letting me know my blessing is coming. You just wait.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So you move and shift from the world into his glory. You couldn't do that in the Old Testament because everybody didn't have access to God. Only Moses had access. Those people down in the valley, while Moses was up on the hill for 40 days, they were sitting there panicking, frustrated, and going through a whole bunch of stuff and decided, let us make a god of gold. And they made a golden calf. They started throwing parties, drinking. They started having debauchery, sex. They started doing some things because the presence was not with them. It was with him. And so they were just frustrated because they were just being very, very human. Did I get this so far? So now I want to see why people say in the church, you shouldn't read the Old Testament. Let's keep reading. So he goes on, verse 13, says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face because he was the only one with the Shekinah glory, that the children of Israel couldn't even look upon him, right? And couldn't see that the end was being abolished so that they could move into this glory. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. See that? Verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. And that's why a lot of people start going, well, you shouldn't read the Old Testament, because it's not relevant. But let me tell you what that's really speaking to. It's speaking to a lawful existence in God, functioning out of rules, structure, and doctrine, and not love. Now, somebody mentioned earlier today, they said, well, you know, I've been around some people, and they talk about how it doesn't matter what a person is, you're supposed to love them, so forth and so on. Even if people are doing something sinful, you should just love them because God is love, and you're supposed to do that. So let me explain that part too, so we can put the two pieces together and make a whole point out of it. Yes, that's true to a degree. But your Bible also says, what fellowship does light have with darkness?
None.
Come out from amongst them.
Yes.
Then know what your Bible says?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
All right. So what are they misinterpreting? They're misinterpreting this main point. God loves sinners. He's never loved sin.
Amen. Amen.
But while we were yet sinners, he still loved us. That's your scripture. Say to God.
Amen.
For while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So he loves sinners. He doesn't love sin. Right? And so it becomes Amen. Our responsibility as believers, people who have received Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior, it becomes important to recognize I may have some things on me, but the difference is I don't love it either.
Amen.
Let me try that again.
Can you say that one more time?
Let me try it again. Yeah, the difference between someone who truly understands and knows the Lord and understands his position about sin, you'll understand you may still have some shortcomings, but you don't love them no more. That's the difference.
Amen.
See, it's one thing for me to go out and do wrong and be okay with the wrong. It's another thing for me to be doing wrong and crying on my pillow at night because I'm tired of it.
Amen.
I saw
this thing on Facebook where it said it's not about not doing any sin. It's about loving God so much that you don't want to sin.
Yes,
Amen.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
So now,
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Let's go real quickly over to now 2 Corinthians. God bless you who just joined us. Someone just joined about 2 seconds ago. Who just joined us?
It's me.
Okay.
That's
you?
Justin. Yeah.
All right. Are you on here twice, Duane?
I guess so. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
So nice here, just like New York, New York. So nice,
yeah.
You got to do it twice.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, so we're going to 2 Corinthians. We left off on 11, I believe, last week, and we are moving into 12. And the reason why that's so important, what we talked about, because I don't want us to get caught in the weeds here. We're not going to talk about several different subjects. We're talking about one thing, and I want to make the point of the one thing, this particular scripture. Everybody at 2 Corinthians 12, if you have it, please turn to it. I want you to see this. This is so important.
Okay.
Second Corinthians, the 12th chapter, go to the 9th verse. Go to the 7th verse, to the 9th verse. Then we'll go back to the first verse and we'll read through. So we all get this. As I said, God loves sinners. He does not love sin. And believe it or not, there's a scripture in the Bible, and this is where a lot of people get confused from. I think it gets them messed up, right? Especially people who are in sin. Somebody gets sick and they get on their knees and they go, oh, God, can you help my mama or my cousin or my brother or my sister? They're going through this. And the person dies, and then you talk to them about you should pray more, and the person says, I did that. God didn't even answer. And they're angry at God, right? But how many of you know in your Bible it says God does not hear a sinner's prayer? The only prayer of a sinner that God hears is the prayer of salvation. When I say I repent, go ahead.
But, Pastor, pastors, bishops, and all that other stuff, people in the body of Christ, they're not teaching that. So you have people that swear up and down that God is hearing their prayers. And because this is a thing that I don't get. Why did everybody in the 12 disciples, they went into the world and they preached and taught the word of God, and everybody hated them. But see, you have pastors here that are not willing to step up to preach Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want to be hated and despised and all that. Everybody want to sugarcoat stuff.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
Yeah, well, and I can't speak for them. And I thank God I'm also not responsible for them.
Oh, thank God.
Let me say that again.
Yes.
I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for Pastor Monroe.
Yes. All right. May I ask a pastoral question?
Say it again. Yeah.
What would you do if you had two women who were in a relationship come into your church every Sunday faithfully? What would you do?
Does everybody want to hear my answer to that question? Is that important to people?
Yes.
Love.
Okay. Yeah. So I would, if I know that, though, first I have to know that they're together, right? And the only way you would know that they're together, I want you to pay attention to how I'm answering this. This is important. And the only way I would know that they're together is that they were bold enough and bogus enough to make it plain in the church that this is my woman.
No,
which
right.
means that there's not two people that came in the church. There's two spirits that just came in the church.
Okay.
There you go.
Let me try that part first. Because there's a difference between folks that's got spirits on them and folks that's just trying to find Christ. When folks have spirits on them, they're always acting out or looking for the opportunity to act out the spirit because the spirit is stronger than the person. That's the reason that it becomes a stronghold and it's hard for the person to get rid of it.
Amen.
So what would I say? I would say to them, you are absolutely welcome in this church. But the minute you display that spirit, I would have to ask you to leave. If you came here to learn how to get rid of that, then you're in the right place. If you're looking for somebody to pat you on the back and applaud you for where you're at, you're in the wrong place. I mean no harm, and I have no indifference towards you because I ain't your God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man sent by God to explain who your God is. I can tell you right now, he wouldn't like it. And nor am I going to expose our children to your mayhem. No different than if somebody came to church and two women ain't the point, because sin is sin. Two women ain't the point. The other side of that point is that if I had somebody in there that was a thief, what would I say? If I had somebody in there that was a liar, what would you say? If you had somebody in there that's manipulating and using folks, if you got a wife beater, if you got a husband user, if you got a dog killer. Because with God, sin is sin.
Amen.
And so it becomes imperative that the church be honest with people and let them know there's certain things we can't allow. It's not that you can't do it. Go do it. Now let's talk about another thing that we'll read in a minute, right? One more thing. What do you say to people? I want you to use I want you to use the brain that God gave you tonight. Praise the Lord. Right? Rise to the spirit of Christ that lives in you. Because the Holy Ghost is brilliant. The Holy Spirit is brilliant. He's the one that made all them different looking fish in the sea. Brilliant. He's the one that made all the medicine that somebody learned to harvest to save lives. Brilliant. He's the one that made the varieties of birds, not a bird. He made birds fowl in the air. Brilliant. He's the one who made the variety of trees. Brilliant. He's the one that made the variety of grass. Brilliant. He's the one that made the volcano. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And if he's that smart and you allow him to live in you, it's going to be very rare that somebody outsmarts you. Oh, you didn't hear that. You really didn't hear it. Because he's brilliant. And if he lives in me and he's leading me, then more often than not, I see the mess before the mess ever hits the door.
Amen.
I see the garbage before it ever piles up. I see the witchcraft and the trickery before it ever gets to trick me.
Amen.
Are we listening?
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying, so the Holy Spirit is brilliant now. And I said, I want you to remember, you've got that. You've got the presence of the Holy Spirit living in you. So now let's think for a minute. Let's talk about the one thing that seems to be the great divide over all the churches, especially our Caucasian brothers and sisters in churches, and even many of our African-American churches and Hispanic and Chinese and so forth and so on. And it's this one, and that is abortion.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a moment?
Yes, sir. Mm.
Yeah, you. If I tell you what I'm thinking, you can entertain it. You can complain about it. You can call me back and say I don't agree. Whatever you like to do, because I'm fine with you being you. I'm also fine with me being me. And I'm glorifying God, because since I've been in him, I have not seen as much fault. I haven't seen as many problems. I have found a way to get through everything, and don't nothing faze me like it used to since I've been in him. Because he's brilliant. And every time there's a problem, he tends to come and speak and say, here's how you're going to deal with it. And the problem ain't so big of a problem no more. So I'm in it to win it. I'm in it with it. So let's talk about it. Amen. Right? Talk about the whole abortion. The conservative Christian America, right? Conservative Christian America. Right, you talk about Episcopalians, you talk about Lutheran, you talk about Catholic, you're talking about all Protestant, Presbyterians, you're talking about Methodists, you're talking about the Kojic, and everybody's upset because they all, when somebody's sitting in an office, and this is how Trump escalated himself. Please listen to me tonight. This is how Trump escalated himself from the pit of hell into the White House and created the pit of hell in the White House. Because he knew that 90% of the people that believe hate that one particular subject matter, and they all want to control that system. So now listen to me. So do we believe in abortion? No. Life is precious. God gives life. Bible says only God gives it, and God takes it away. So do we? Well, no. But also you have to know the difference between you being a child of God and a child of the world. So watch what I'm saying. So in the world, Jesus said this, give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Give unto God what belongs to God. He made a divisive statement that says, in the world, certain things are going to happen, and you're going to have to learn how to abide by. And in the kingdom, certain things are happening, and you're going to have to learn how to make sure you hold on to your kingdom relationship while accepting some of what the world is going to do, is what he was saying. Got it? So let's go back to the abortion point. So here it is, that we all know that we don't want to see anyone die. However, we have some people that are so, have such a veil over their eyes, which is what we're going to talk about, right? He talked about the veil. Have such a veil over their eyes, they don't realize. Yeah, we put people in office to help stop people from doing abortions, but the same people you put in that office are the people that will send your child to be aborted at 18 if a war starts. Listen, use your head.
Yep.
Use your head. They're the same people that send your son to die. Send him back in a box. Send him back with legs cut off. Send him back with this messed up. Send him back with that messed up. Because they declared war on somebody because they wanted some oil, they wanted some gold, they wanted some poppy, they wanted some resources, and they're willing to send your children over there to die, but they'll sit back and say, but no, we stand against abortion. You can't kill them in the womb. Why? Because if you kill them in the womb, we won't have them to go to the war. That's why. Are we listening?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
The same people. The same people that says you shouldn't be aborting babies are the same ones that by the time your child hits 18, if he's African-American, he's been arrested 3 to 4 times already, and they're preparing him for a penitentiary. The same people. The same people are sitting back and saying you shouldn't abort that baby are the same exact people that know they're not going to educate your child like they educated their children. They know they had a 400-year head start on your children, your culture, your people, and everything else. Them same people that are sitting back saying, no, this is God's way, are the same people saying, remove that health care, because these folks are just sitting up, sucking up resources. The same people. But they know Jesus healed everybody. So I don't know what kind of Christianity that is. But it ain't my time. Praise the Lord.
Man,
because I got more sense than that, because the Holy Ghost is intelligent, and the Holy Ghost will reveal all that when you really stop and think for yourself. Wait a minute. They show me this side, and they may do that to us. Not just blacks, to the very culture and the very society we live in. How many senators, how many presidents, how many congressmen are sending their children to war?
Not a one.
Praise the Lord. Right? So when it comes down to the abortion side of things, this is why Jesus said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That is the world. They're going to answer for that when they get to heaven. My job is not to stop you from doing what you do. That's why Psalms 1:1, everybody knows that scripture. Go to it real quick, and then we'll come back to 2 Corinthians. I just want to make sure we get this tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Psalms 1:1. We need to become smart. Praise God. God is, he's not the God of dumb people.
No.
Can't be the God of dumb people if he's giving them the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is brilliant. The Holy Ghost made everything that scientists are still trying to figure out, and he still ain't figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it. He created it.
Amen.
They're just trying to figure out what he did. Well, he knows what he did because he did it. Praise the Lord. Go to Proverbs 1st chapter, just so you get this. Everybody ready? You ready to say amen?
Amen.
Stay with me.
Amen.
Proverbs. I'm sorry, Psalms 1. I said Proverbs. Psalms 1. Right? And if you don't have it, I'll read it for you. I just want you to hear it. I want you to listen to it. I want you to use your mind. Let God restore the righteousness that's in your mind. Because what he created, when he created you in your mother's womb, he created something brilliant. What Satan uncreated while you were going through life was the brilliance that God created and put you in a place where all you're doing is listening to what them folks are saying and not using your own mind, a righteous mind, though. Because without a righteous mind, you end up with a delusional mind. And when you have a delusional mind, you keep making up stuff that don't ever even come to pass. That's how God is trying to expose this delusional. You keep saying this is going to happen, but it never happens. You keep going saying you can do this, but you can't do it. That means the delusion. Satan has placed something around you to keep you from finding the righteousness of your mind. Hallelujah. Bless chapter Psalms 1. Blessed is the man or the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, keep the right folk in your ear. Get the wrong folks out your ear. Keep the right words in your mouth and know who you're talking to versus who it is that you're trying to give counsel to. Because if you go give counsel to a fool, you'll find out after a period of time you were the bigger fool, because the fool ain't gonna change.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen.
If you argue long enough with a fool, you should question who was the real fool in this case. I spent all that time pouring out an answer and solution. I gave them wisdom. I gave them knowledge. And they went and did exactly the opposite of all that. And then they came back and I did it again. Who's the fool?
Mm.
Praise the Lord. Right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the sorrowful. He don't have an attitude issue. He ain't judging everybody. They do what they do. I'm doing what God told me to do. That's how simple this is. They do what they do. I'm doing what God told me to do. That's how simple you keep it. They do what they do. I got to do what God is saying to do. That's how simple I got to keep it. It ain't got nothing to do with all them folks. They just a distraction. And the minute I get caught up in the distraction, I lose my momentum. Yeah, God. Oh, but that man, verse 2, but that man's delight is in the law of the Lord. Do what he told me to do, right? And in his law, does that person meditate day and night? Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper. Be careful who talks to you. Be careful who you talk to. Let me give you a great example of talking to. Joseph, one of 12 brothers, had a great vision that God was talking to him about. Joseph, you're going to do this. Joseph, by the time you grow up, your brothers are going to be bowing down to you. Joseph, you're going to become a great man for me. Joseph, you're going to be the part of the salvation of Israel. Joseph, and Joseph went and ran his mouth back to his brothers. Hey, God told me that y'all will bow down to me. And they took that brother out and tried to kill him. Sold him off as a slave because he didn't know who to talk to. Anybody listening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of us have caught that before. Some of us got messed up because we talked to some folk we never should have talked to. You told some folk what your plan was when you should have planned it and done it and then told them later because then they could have stopped it. Am I talking to anybody tonight? I know I'm talking to somebody tonight because my God.
Amen. Yeah, sure. Come on.
You have to know this is real. This is not it's not by chance. It's not by happenstance, but it's by intentionality in God. God does not deal with chance and happenstance. God deals with intentional people. Intentional. I got my mind made up. I'm going to live it right. I got my mind. Even if I got it still wrong, I'm going toward that right every single step. Confucius, the great Chinese philosopher, said, the journey of a million miles begins with the first step. All God is looking for from some of us is just the first step in the right direction. He ain't looking for you to be perfect. He ain't looking for you to be Jesus. He ain't looking for you to walk on water. He's not looking for you to make rain fall out the sky. He's not looking for you to turn around and speak to mountains and the mountains move. That's a development. But the first step is the important part. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Did I take the first step right? Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So we're going to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to read, and I said I want you to pay attention to verses 7 through 9. Everybody got it? Let me know when you're there, please.
You said 11th chapter?
12th chapter. Okay. 2 Corinthians, 12th chapter. All right. And the theme of this is going to come from 7 through 9 because it's going to match up with almost everything that the Lord has had us speak about. And this is what I want you to hear. You ready for it? Say amen, somebody. Don't.
Amen.
Yeah, so, see, you got to receive. Amen means I agree. The power is in the agreement. Remember that? The power is in the agreement. Amen just simply means I agree. Everybody with me?
No, I am.
Amen. I got one or two. Here we go. Watch this. Verse 7. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that I've received. That's what we were talking about, Lati. Revelations that was given to me. Also this, though. Pay attention to it. With all the revelation, with all of the love I have for God, with the things that he done, and turned into the man that I am. Watch me. God bless you. Someone from Philadelphia. God bless you. How are you?
Hey, God bless.
God bless. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Sharon Jackson.
Hey, Sharon. God bless. This is Pastor Monroe.
It's good to hear. I'm like, oh, you right on the hotline. You are here front and center, Pastor.
Oh, bless your heart, Sharon. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Sharon, we're in 2 Corinthians, and we're in the 12th chapter. You have your Bible?
No, because I just wanted to check in, because I haven't been. I've been dealing with a lot of stuff, doctors and stuff. But, yeah, so let me get it. Let me get it. And that's another thing. So can we do this, Pastor? I'll pull it out, but can I just listen to the message? Because it'll take me forever to find that chapter.
Yes, ma'am. Sharon, I'm going to let you get away with it this week. Next week, I expect you to be ready to go. Okay, is that fair?
I mean, I'm ready to go now. It's just going to take me a minute to find those chapters.
Oh, yeah, take your time. The only reason I want you to have it is because the Bible promises that the word of the Lord cannot return unto him void, which means when we read the Bible, even if we don't understand it, we're getting something. We just don't know what it is yet. But when it becomes obvious to you, you'll know.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So the reading part is very important. Plus, if you don't read it for yourself, Sharon and anybody else on the line, if you don't read it for yourself, then the person could be telling you a bogus, outright lie, and you will never know because you didn't see it. Which is why a lot of people are not successful in Christ, because they've been listening too long and not reading nearly long enough.
Yeah.
So this church week is going to kind of have people read. But I'm going to go to it, right? 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I said our main point is going to come from these scriptures. And that is, again, verse 7, and at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation that I've received. This is Paul talking. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh. In other words, even though I'm anointed, appointed, even though God has called me into this marvelous work, Paul started over 33 churches. Mm-hmm. And all the mother apostles, you don't see their names in this book too much often at all. But Paul, the late bloomer, that's why it's all right to be a late bloomer in God. You don't have to be with anyway. You don't have to be where other folks are right now, because as long as you get there, the race is neither to the swift nor to the strong, but the race is to them that endure. You don't know what you'll be in 5 years if you stay in God. 5 years, you could be running the biggest church. You could be part of the biggest ministry. You could have touched and saved 1,000 souls. You don't know who you are until God explains to you who you are. And that's what Paul means when he says the revelation. God showed me who I was. But he said, the Lord was showing me who I was. Verse 7, there was also given to me a thorn. I had a problem. Listen to him good. He said, the problem was the messenger of Satan itself to buffet me, to bother me, to vex me, to get on my nerves. He gave me this thorn that just bothers me all the time, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, I'd be perfect. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. I went to him over and over. You see, I went to him at least twice, that he might take this thing from me. And then verse 9 becomes the point. And he said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength becomes made perfect through your weakness.
Man, Pastor, can I add to that?
Yes, sir, you can.
Man, like, that's actually one of my favorite passages by, you know, Paul, because, you know, I've always, that's one, Paul is like my favorite because, you know, you really resonate with him, but, you know, when you're in that weakness, man, and then I always remember that quote right there that says, my power works best in weakness. Like, and it's crazy. Like, every time I say that and quote that in my brain, I feel myself, like, spiritually standing up. And, like, this is why it's just so important to have the word of God in your mind, because, like, that right there, it's just like, you can feel the presence of God and the power, you know, when you're at that weakness from your thorn that's in your side, and it just picks you back up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does. And it strengthens you in ways you've never been strengthened. Falling is not the issue, family. Falling is not your issue. All have fallen short. of the glory of God. So falling can't be the issue. Else why tell me that? The issue is that what happens in Proverbs when the Bible says, but a righteous person falls seven times and keeps getting back up. See, the problem is I don't want to get up. Problem is I want to live in the fall. Problem is I want to stay where I am. Problem is I don't want to go where I'm destined. I want to stay where I'm defensive. I want to stay. Because the righteous one knows that falling is not a problem with God. Knows that missing the mark is not a problem with God. It's not aiming that's a problem. It's having a mentality of, you know how they say in the army, ready, aim, fire? In the world, it's ready, fire, then aim. And that's where the problem comes in, because I took the action way before I thought it through, and then I get the bad results. And I'm willing to live with the bad results instead of get up and say, next time I'll ready, aim, and fire. And I won't ready, fire, and aim. I'm going to go back. I'm going back at that thing. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I have a destiny that I'm going to find out if I'm everything that I think I am. Can I talk about this for a minute? Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know that most of us already know where we should be? Most of us, because God is such a good God, already told you can be more than what you're being. Most of us feel that. It's ingrained. And we spend more time nailing ourselves to the cross because we haven't become what we should be than getting back up so we can get to that point. And the nail to the cross becomes the big problem for us. Because I want to just tell me how bad I am all the time. I just want to keep telling myself how I can't make it. I just want to keep telling myself how I got bad luck or something. I just want to keep telling myself that cloud over my head is just over my head. It ain't a cloud. It's just a cloud. It's just a personal cloud. And it's all about me. And everything that goes wrong on me. But I don't take the time to look at the world around me to recognize I ain't the only one going through. I'm just the one not coming through. But I ain't the only one going through. Everybody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody has issues. But everybody doesn't choose to stay in the issue. Some people are going to fight with that issue like it's a war until I conquer this thing. And that's what Paul was saying. Look, hey, wait a minute. You put this thing, this thorn in my flesh. I don't know what it was. Maybe Paul was there's a couple of scriptures where Paul said, I'm a really kind of a rough person. So maybe Paul didn't have a kind voice when he talked to people. I don't know what it was. Maybe Paul had some girlfriends on the side that he never talked about. Maybe Paul hated women. Therefore, he didn't have any. And he was belittling them. Whatever his problem was, it was enough that he knew it was sent by Satan. Anybody getting this?
Yes, sir.
Is it? I'd be perfect if I could get rid of this one problem. Boy, I'd be exalted above measure if I could just get rid of this one thing in my life, this one thing. And he talked to God and said, God, please remove it. Please remove it. Take it away from me. I'm tired of it. It hurts me. It bothers me. And then God said, hey, Paul, settle down. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I know you want to get rid of it, and you're not happy with it, which makes me happy with you. See, God ain't happy with the folk that want to hold on to and embrace their problems. God is happy with the folks that's saying, I want to face my problem.
Amen.
Let me just face my problem. Let me look the demon in the eye. Even if it's my demon, let me look it in the eye and tell it I'm tired of you. I done had enough of you. And God's grace is sufficient enough for me. So between me and God, we overcome you. Whatever that is. Praise the Lord. Everybody getting it?
Yeah.
Thank you, sure. Sister. All right. So now let's read the whole scripture. Well, we're 6:39. We got about 21 minutes. So now let's go from 12. Angela, can you read starting at 12:1? But that's the theme, right? His grace is sufficient. Stop beating yourself up.
Hold on.
Stop.
Amen.
Okay? Stop. Stop worrying over it all the time. You can't fix it.
2 Corinthians chapter 2.
Chapter 12.
Oh, 12. I'm sorry.
Starting at verse 1. Let's read down to 9. And then we'll probably stop there. 12:1.
Okay.
And if anybody has questions or you feel a need to speak on something, speak on it. That's God's way of getting some things out. Go ahead, Sister Anthony.
And I am going to read from the NIV because I'm an NIV girl and Dad knows Apostle knows I am. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool. Because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake, I'm sorry. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen. Let's
sorry,
right
I had
there.
To go. It was good.
That's all right.
It was good. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody want to comment on that? What is Paul talking about? What is he trying? What's the dig the message
it
out?
Sound,
right?
I don't know. It just sounds like you know, the next life, that it's the next life, and that's what I'm getting from it. I mean,
we think he's talking about the next life that he's going to have when he's gone to heaven?
When he's preparing you, because we don't know the unknown, but God knows everything. God sees everything, you know.
Yeah, so, and I want to ask a question of everybody. Do we all believe that God is in control of everything?
Absolutely.
He is Lord. Yeah, I believe he got his hands on lot of everything. Yep.
So I've heard people have said yes. So I'm going to ask you, remember we spoke earlier and I said I want us to use our righteous mind, right? Right? Remember that part? Use your righteous mind. God gave you a great gift when he gave you the brain that you have. The brain has been tainted by oppression and the things that we've gone through, the spirits that have dealt with us when we were coming up to alter what God created. And coming back to Christ helps you to refine what God created. That's what the whole point of Bible study is. That's what the whole point is. I need to refine what God's created. Yes, I'm going to become a new creature, but that's being on behavior. But the person, the brain that I am is going to still be there. It's just going to be more enlightened. Oh, praise the Lord. It's just going to be more enlightened.
Yeah.
The behaviors make me understand. So I had four people that said, yes, I did. So let me ask you this in your righteous thinking. So is God in control of the man who goes in and rapes the woman and kills her? You think God was in charge?
No.
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 Okay, then who's in charge?
He stepped back. He steps back out of it. Unless kind of like devil won the battle.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we believe that there's a battle going on between Satan and God.
But we also believe
that God can take his hands out and remove grace. Mm-hmm. That my grace is sufficient. So he can remove that grace and give Satan the authority to do what he's doing and God not intercede on it. Is that what we're saying now?
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that.
Let's let Lati first. He jumped in. Let's let Lati. Go ahead, Lati. And then we'll come back to you, Sister Angela.
Well, and if I'm wrong, definitely correct me because I'm trying to learn. But everything that I've gathered from my walk up to now is that, so you said the situation of someone being raped, right? And it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like there's many avenues, like a spider web effect when it comes to that, because one, we have our freedom of will given by the Lord to do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We send ourselves to hell. We don't, God don't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. We choose to rebel. We choose to do that. So when you have an individual, I feel like, you know, if that's happening, you got a lot of people who say, oh, what kind of God would allow that? Well, again, God is not going to go back on his word and how he does stuff, because this is a freedom of will of that individual doing what they do, because they allowed the spirit to come into them because they were not raised or they did not have people of Christ in their lives, and they were not efficient in the Lord and efficient in being, you know, in the body of Christ. That would lead to that. That would lead to that situation. But also at the same time, too, you know, there's many avenues that would have led up to that girl probably, or that person not having the discernment who that person is because they don't have Christ in their life. So I feel like when you have Christ in your life, when you have that and that Holy Spirit, the brilliance of that keeps you out of those things. So from what I'm hearing and how I interpret that stuff is that when you have two people who are not in Christ, who do not understand God, one, that person didn't have the discernment to watch out for who these individuals are, because when you have that discernment by the Holy Spirit, you can catch that stuff a mile away. And then two, that person was acting on their own disobedience because they were not raised properly and they were being controlled by a spirit, their flesh, because they were not in God. That's how I interpret
it. Thank you, Lati. That's your thought process. All right. Go ahead, Sister Angela.
Amen. So my thought process is this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I know what I read, and if I read it wrong, please teach me. Now, I know that the Word of God says that no man can come to God unless he is called.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that every man and woman that is born onto this planet has the flesh, and the flesh is very, you know, that's where the sin lives, is in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I lost my train of thought. What was the question again?
So do we believe that God is in charge of everything? God is in control of it.
Yes,
all?
He's Lord.
You hear that all the time. Oh, God is in control. Well, yeah, he is in control of his people. See, I have
yes,
to be...
of his people.
Because
the Bible says we become...
Go ahead.
So the Bible says we become a slave of Christ. You said, and I've come to understand that, because a lot of people lack lordship. A lot of people don't understand what lordship is, because Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of lords. He is in control of everything.
Well, you just made a very important point, but what do you mean by that? I don't think everybody on here knows what you mean. They lack lordship. What does that mean, and where does that come from? What exactly are you saying?
Yeah.
So I'm saying lordship, because when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, you know, in the New Testament, it says that he is Lord. He's Lord over everything. But You have to allow him to be the Lord. You have to allow him to be Lord in your life. Lord, because he's in control of everything.
Okay.
And then it goes back to your altar. It goes back to your altar. What's mm-hmm. on your altar? Because that can distort everything for you.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't understand lordship. I'm just now learning about lordship.
So let me take you there. Let me tell you where that part is coming from. So I want everyone to take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians. Now we're in 2nd, go to 1 Corinthians. That's the book ahead of that one. And you want to go to the 12th chapter. Mm-hmm. Everybody have it?
When you hey, walk Pastor, up, can you I read like, that?
You will be on fire. Be on fire. Because again, so I want to make sure we get this. So Adam, when God comes and creates Eve from his rib, listen to it good. He creates Eve from Adam's rib. Adam comes after his operation, I guess you can call it. He opens his eyes and he looks at Eve and he says this amazing thing. He says, wow. So I'm assuming Eve was very attractive. And then Adam said this. He said, it is for this reason that a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave only unto his wife, that the twain, the two of us, should become one flesh. Everybody know that scripture? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, now let me tell you why that's an important thing for you to really not just know it, you got to feel this. Here you come. Here it is. Because when we got accepted through Christ, no man comes to God unless he comes through Jesus. But no man can come to Jesus unless God first calls him. That's in your Bible. No man cometh to Christ unless God first calls him. And no man gets to God unless he comes through Jesus. Watch what happened. You just got married. That's why you're called the bride of Christ, which means now the twain have become one flesh. Oh, you ain't listening.
So Jesus is Lord.
Let's get to the Lord part. Here we go. Right? Now go to 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Right? Now watch this. Because if I don't do the marriage part, I can't do the courtship part. There's a courtship piece with God. There's sometimes God will come into your life, bless you. You'll get jobs. You'll have all kinds of stuff. But he's just courting you to let you know I'm here. You needed me. I showed up and let you know that I was there. You could have been locked up in jail and said, oh, God, please help me. He wasn't listening to the sinner's prayer. He was listening to your heart, knowing that you need to be saved. And so something happened miraculously, and all of a sudden you're out of jail. And then 3 weeks later, you're back in jail because you saw it, but you turned around and denied it and went right back to that mess.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listen? So here we go. 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter, listen to this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant about this stuff. Look, you know that you were Gentiles, which means you were, say, carried away even into dumb idols. Your car was more important than God. Your house was more important than God. Your girlfriend was more important than God. Your clothes were more important than God. Your shoes became more important. Dumb idols. Everything. Hallelujah. Everything became your, I'm so fine. Your image became more important than God. I got it all together. I got big money in my pocket. Your money. Mm-hmm. More dumb idols. But anyway, it goes on and says, even the way you were being led. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God would ever say that I'm separated from Jesus. That's what a curse means. No man that speaks by the Spirit of God would ever call Jesus the curse separated. Right? Is that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, watch this, unless they have the Holy Ghost. And so you'll have a whole lot of folk that can talk about Jesus, but you'll never hear him say he's Lord of my life. The Lord said to me, my Lord is, I did it because I love the Lord. They ain't calling him Lord. They're calling on Jesus. There's a difference.
There's a difference?
See, when I know I'm married to someone, I can call my wife by her name, Dora, but that's my wife.
right.
The twain are one flesh. And because she's my wife, she has all rights and privilege of a wife. My credit cards, she can use them.
Uh-huh.
My name, she gets to use it. The house I'm in is hers, too.
All right.
The cars I have, she can drive them anytime she wants to. Because they're all one.
That's my auntie.
Listening?
That's my auntie.
Are we listening?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're married to Jesus Christ, the blessings he has, well, they're yours, too. The healings he has, you ain't listening. The healings that he has, those are yours, too. Yeah, I had to run it just to keep it warmed up. You can cut it off, hon. So that's why by his stripes you can be healed. Because you have all rights once you know you're married to him and he's Lord. You don't have rights. So a perfect stranger, I don't care how attracted she is to me or I to her, just ain't gonna get my credit card.
All right. Come on.
She's not getting the keys to the car.
Yeah, come on.
She can't add a key to the front door.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Because she has no rights to them. And this is just a quick excerpt for married folks on the phone.
But see, that's
you deny
that's
your wife or you
that's
deny your husband.
That's the blessing that we all want to do right, you know, and God will send us that person. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm trying to do things the right way. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I want to find my person, you know what I mean? And that's why, you know, the first step is God. Got to put God first. Yeah. Got to put God first.
Hallelujah.
You learn after, like, it might take a couple bumps and bruises and falls.
Come on.
Time to realize it. But God,
amen.
That's what he brought you through to realize it.
Yes.
And I'm just thankful for God. Thankful for the for
yes.
God. Like,
yes, God, yes.
All right, now.
Yep. Gotta put God first.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
And what that means is this, Sharon and family in Christ. What that means is this. Putting God first means exactly what Sister Angela was trying to articulate when she said the lordship part.
Right.
A lord is something that you bow down to. You don't sit back and argue with.
Yeah.
A lord is someone that you know has preeminence and authority over your life, and you don't question his plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing that gets questioned in the plan. Give me 1 second, Brother Irby. What you question with God is how I fit into the plan, not what the plan is. Because the plan is always good for my life.
Yeah,
I need to know if I'm fitting in properly. That's the question.
Yeah.
Am I doing right? Am I acting right? Am I living right? Is my value in the right place? Am I thinking right, or am I still in the thinking mode of the world that I'm always trying to figure out who's trying to hurt me? Who's trying to come after me? Who beat me down? Who's talking about me? That's stinking. And I'm going to say that again. It's stinking thinking that does that. It says I still got so much world around me that I haven't released it yet, because the first thing that I know about serving my Lord is he has no ill intent over my life.
Praise his
name. The fault's in me somewhere. It ain't in him. It ain't what he ain't trying to teach me nothing. He's trying to make me recognize something. So like Paul, I get the revelation. Oh, there's a thorn someplace. And I ain't willing to fight with that thorn.
No.
I got to fight with that thorn. Go ahead, please.
Can I relate that too?
Yep, yeah, please.
I don't know if we got to that part yet in the Bible study night, but this is why I say, like, in my opinion, the Old Testament is important, because the old, just like how the Lord wanted to separate the Israelites from the world, he wants to separate us from the world.
Yes, sir.
And mm-hmm. once we fully remove ourselves from the Lord, from the world, then we can mm-hmm. embrace what you're saying, you know, with God, with our Lord, our Savior. And then again, like my mom's saying, the Lordship, and from what I'm interpreting, it's the reverence. Like, this is God. This is mm-hmm. our God. This is our Creator. Mm-hmm. God, if you were to go up to God right now, like I was talking to my wife earlier, and you say, Father, please explain to me how you created the sun. You wouldn't be able to. Your head would explode. You can't comprehend that. This is God. This mm-hmm. is the Creator of the everything that you see, down to every molecule, to the very burning ball of plasma that you see in the morning, to the moon at nighttime that refracts light and perfectly lights the night, as you know, stated in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It's like, this is mm-hmm. God we're talking about. People got to take, like, you know, I've been watching the show King David, and, you know, just him, just like how, you know, King David, how he, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't play games. He was mm-hmm. a man after God's heart. He's like, you're not going to sit mm-hmm. there and do that. I'm not doing that pagan stuff. I'm not, no, like, the God will not be mocked. And we have to mm-hmm. understand that reverence, that once we get to that point, we understand who God is. Like, again, mm-hmm. what I'm learning in the Old Testament, how serious it is. Mm-hmm. Then that's when I think mm-hmm. things will start to come to fruition.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
That was beautifully said, right? David. David is the one that stood before his giant and said, you need to back up off me. You uncircumcised Philistine. Mm. And what he was saying was, you ain't one of God's people. You don't have any authority. And I think that many of us would profit very well when we begin to start talking to our trouble from that place. Mm-hmm. When we start speaking to our trouble, I don't mean speaking to the people, I mean speaking to the spirit that's around it. No, 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 no. You can get up off me, because it's an uncircumcised Philistine attacking my life. I'm not having it. I know who I am, and I know whose I am, and he is Lord over my life. And every time I want to do what is right, He acknowledges it, even if I fail at it. That's why Paul said these things. Everybody knows the scripture. Those things that I would do, I find myself not doing. Those things that I would not do, those are the things that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And then he answers by saying, none but the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our deliverer. He's your peacemaker. He's your truth seer. He's the glory of your salvation. He is your strength. He is the part that makes you get set apart. He is the part that allows you to be in the world and not of the world. Going back to what Sister, going back to, I think, Brother Latif said, we are in the world, but if you truly love the Lord, and I don't mean if you truly know that there's a Lord. That's different. There's tons of people out there that know there's a God, but he mm-hmm. is not preeminent over their life. They don't mm-hmm. question whether I'm doing something mm-hmm. right or wrong before God. Did I do that right, Lord? If I didn't, forgive me. They don't repent at the end of the day when they recognize, man, I call my wife a bunch of names. Oh, I talk to the children really bad. They don't mm-hmm. repent. They justify. When you're just aware that there is a God, you become a justifier. Well, I wouldn't have did it if I didn't have to do this. If things weren't so bad, I'd have never stole it. I'd have never played them people like that if I'd have had. That just tells you, you know, that there may be a God. But when you know that you're God, you'll know that I don't have to justify, because I don't have to worry about what they did. But that's an uncircumcised Philistine. And though it's coming, that's why your Bible says no weapon formed against you
will prosper.
It may be coming. The back end of that scripture, no weapon formed against me will prosper. The best back end of that scripture says, because the man who formed the hand of the one that made the weapon.
Amen.
And see, that's where your peace comes from, when you recognize it may look bad, but God formed the hand of what they're trying to do. So he has a protective mechanism. When he cocks the gun and pull the trigger, it'll backfire.
Yeah.
When they point the finger at me, I've got to show them this forefinger still pointed at them. You know,
amen. Because
he knows how to tone the circumstance. But if I don't, if he's not Lord, is anybody following what I'm saying? I hope I'm not being too complicated. But if he's not Lord, in other words, if I haven't submitted that whatever your will is for my life, I'm okay with it, then he's not Lord. And how do I know if that's the case? Well, maybe I'm shacking with somebody and I really like them, and God is doing everything he can to tear that relationship up because he wants better for me, but I want that and God wants this, and that becomes a problem. And so I need God to deliver them when he's really trying to deliver me. And so now I'm a disobedient believer because, yeah, I want what God wants for me, but I don't want it without this. And now I've introduced something that God was trying to extricate from me. I brought it right into the kingdom. And while God is trying to bless me, the thing that's around me is trying to destroy me. Let's go back to the question about, is God in control of the person that gets raped and so forth and so on? Well, and Lati, I think you answered it very well, because here's a thought for us. The Bible says you reap what you sow. And this is a thought for us to carry, praise the Lord, for the rest of our lives. And that's this. When he says you reap what you sow, he's not speaking specifically to an individual. Listen to me good. I could go out and lie, cheat, and kill and end up living 100 years. But I might end up with 4 or 5 children that die. I might end up with some cousins with cancer, 15, don't understand why. Because when he says you'll reap what you sow, he's speaking to the DNA, not to the individual. Because you are not an individual. You are bloodline that goes all through history. Oh, God help me. Amen. You are bloodline that'll go all the way through time. And so when you reap what you sow, sometimes the reaping bypasses you and hits 5 or 6 other people around you, because God still has intention over your life.
All right. Yeah.
Because he still has some intention over your life. And he said, I'm still, my grace is still sufficient. Anybody listening?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
You reap what you sow. And a lot of that is, again, like a lot of times you'll see in the Bible, and it will close on this, but a lot of times you'll see in the Bible where it says, if a man, like it started off, blessed is the man. That's the Greek word anthropos. It means mankind. It doesn't mean, a male. It means mankind. When he said, you'll reap what you sow, that's a Greek word that talks about your lineage will reap. That's why he said, I'll visit the iniquities of the parents into 5 generations. Why? Because he's really talking to your DNA. Because you're going to make some baby, they look just like you. Oh, God. You'll have grandchildren, they look just like grandma. They look just like grandpa. Why? Because the DNA. It is the very reason, oh, this is getting good to me. I don't know about you, but it's the very reason, if you know your Bible, that Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. Why? Because the blood, because the sin passes through the male. And so he couldn't be born with sin in him, so God had to have an immaculate birth. I'll show it to you if you want to see it in the Bible. I'm telling you from what's in the Bible. It had to be an immaculate birth, because sin passes from generation to generation to generation based on what the male does. That's why the male is the head of the house. Amen. It's supposed to be the covering over the house. Because whatever the male lets in, imagine yourself being a roof, and you get holes in the roof. So whenever a hailstorm comes, it's coming through the roof, tearing up the furniture. Whenever the snowstorm comes, it lights right in through the holes in the roof and finds itself all over the floor. The rugs are ruined. The floor becomes softened. The house is being demolished because the roof ain't on right. Hallelujah, somebody. See, and so as a covering, that's why the Bible calls you to cover. As the covering, my job is to protect the house because I know that what's in my DNA will flow all through that place. If I don't have mercy, my children won't have it. If I don't have grace, my kids won't have it. If I don't have gratitude, my kids will always be salty. If I don't have solutions, my kids will always have problems.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Am I talking to you? It got quiet around.
Yes, sir. God, well, thank you.
I hope you pray I'm talking. That's what this is about. That's what it's about. It's deeper than just I'm saved and did I say thank you Jesus today. No, this is about knowing you are here. You are really special people. Glory to God. I don't know how to tell you that, but I keep saying it over and over. I reiterate it. You're special. If God called you, he sees something in you you can't even see in yourself yet. Your desire for him. It's like falling in, it's like you met somebody and something about them was so attractive, they brought you flowers and candy, and you were like, I can't live without them. I get up in the morning, I'm thinking about them, even though I ain't seen them. I like to talk to them on the phone. He wooed you. He courted you. Now we might as well go on and get married and stay married. Praise the Lord. Are we good, everyone?
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So we're going to, I'm going to say we are at the 7-11 mark. We might as well get ready to close out. Any closing thoughts as we get ready to exit? I'll start with Latif.
Just learned a lot, just really understanding, you know, it's interesting because I wouldn't say struggled with that passage with Paul and, you know, the thorn, but you like really, really, you know, opened up my mind to it even more than what I originally had from it. And it gave me a more deeper understanding on, you know, how the Lord sees us and, you know, standing back up, you know, being that righteous person and, you know, continuing to move forward. And, you know, fight and not, you know, sulking and wallowing in your, you know, your failures and being like, oh, I'm just going to stay here. No, like you got to, even if it feels uncomfortable, you got to stand up and you got to keep going towards the Lord because this is what it is. You know, like how Paul said, you know, it's here, you know, I'm going to boast of my weaknesses because in my weakness, he is strong. And, you know, the more and more I read, the more and more I go through life and understand, like, it's like, the Lord does it in his time, but it's like it's a patience type of time. It's like he's slowly, you know, day by day revealing stuff to me that I did not understand before. And it's like constantly like, you know, sticking in my psyche and like helping me grow because I'm like, okay, so this is what they're talking about. This is what it is to go through this and deal with people and, you know, stand on the outside of that and be like, dang, I used to be that way. You know, I used to act this way. And it's just that constant like, evolving, you know, with the Lord and, you know, just him opening your mind and like softening your heart, you know, giving you a heart of flesh, you know, just really, you know, understanding, like I can give you a few times, like, man, like when I hear, you know, I listen to Christian radio when I'm at work and, you know, just every time they get on a subject of, you know, Jesus, you know, dying on a cross. And I just kind of like look at myself, like how Paul said, you know, I'm this wretched man. And just really, you know, I think of the one verse on Luke 23, chapter 39-43, when one of the criminals are hanging next to him. And he's like, you know, the one criminal is mocking him. You're the Messiah, you know, prove it to yourself, you know, by saving yourself or whatever. And then the other one is like, going against and protesting against that other guy. He's like, don't you fear God even when you have, you know, been sentenced to die? You know, we you're basically saying we deserve to die for our crimes. And then, you know, just knowing all the wickedness I've done in my life, all the terrible things I've done in my life. And then for Jesus to look at that other man and he said, I assure you today you will be in paradise with me. Like, how can that not hit you? Just knowing that God, that, you know, in the flesh, Jesus went through all of that and he loves you so much. And just that, you know, us being who we are, because we all made our mistakes. We all did things in our past. We all fell short. And just like, how could you not love, you know, the Lord? How could you not love Jesus? How could you not just be like just thanking him every day? And I have to remind myself that. And it's those scriptures that, you know, put me, you know, in my place and just be like, man, like I don't deserve that. You know, there was nothing good in me. The only thing that's good in me is Christ. So, you know, just like that.
Thank you, Leslie. That was beautiful. Very beautiful. I'm going to go to Sharon. Are you there? Any thoughts? Sharon? Are you still there?
Sharon or Dewan?
No, not Dewan. I said Sharon, Philadelphia. Oh, our phone is still there. Maybe she might have got kicked off. Go ahead, Dewan, close us out. What are your thoughts?
I just enjoy getting online every Wednesday and just open my eyes to a lot of situations and stuff. And I get through it every day. But my problems is up to God and everything like that.
Yeah, Dewan, you've grown so much and you've become, I mean, such an awesome young man. Grateful. Just grateful for you and for your love and for your steadfastness towards God, Dewan. I don't think Sharon is here, and I know Tara and Anthony had to leave, and I think Angela left. So I'm going to ask Lati to just close us out in prayer, please.
Everybody left? Is it just the three of us?
I think it's just the three or four of us. Yep.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching tonight and you speaking through our pastor and opening our minds and our hearts to everything in the Word and giving us understanding so that we can grow. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we understand your reverence because you are sovereign. You are the creator of everything.
Yes, God.
You are the Lord over our lives. You are the dictator over everything that we do and all our actions, Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us the strength to stand up when we fall, Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us the guidance and the courage to keep moving forward and to keep lighting our lamps and moving forward, Heavenly Father, and being prepared. So when the door closes, we'll be ready for you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for everyone that was on the service tonight, everyone that has expressed their testimonies, everyone that has expressed their knowledge and their understanding so that we can all put it together in the body of Christ so that we can have a better understanding together, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I pray that you send down your angels to cover us with the blood of the Lamb. Send down your angels to watch over us. Bless our pastor, his wife, his family. My mother, Brother Dewan, and the other individuals I have not got to know yet, but I thank God for them. I thank God for the people that came. I thank God for this day. Yes, I thank God for everyone here, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for everything, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Let me give God a hand clap praise. Thank you, Lati. Awesome prayer and awesome closure. We love you all with the love of Christ. We'll see everyone next week, Wednesday, right at 5:30. I love you all. Be blessed and be the blessing.
Love you all. Good night.
Good night.